Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast, and a special welcome on this Monday, December 25, Christmas Day, a day of special thanksgiving and rejoicing and worship and gratitude for the people of God, even though we recognize that December 25 is probably not the day upon which Jesus Christ was born. Nevertheless, it could be. We don't know. The Bible certainly doesn't tell us when Christ was born, and the Bible doesn't tell us to celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ, and consequently there has been some disagreement by God's people down through the years as to whether it is even appropriate to celebrate the birthday of Jesus or not. And the Puritans, for example, did not observe Christmas, considered that to be pagan, considered it to be ungodly, considered it to be contrary to biblical truth and biblical religion. In fact, at times, in some places where Puritans were in control, it was actually a crime punishable by fine or other punishment to celebrate Christmas. So, things have swung back and forth one way and then another. And you may be one of those who does not celebrate Christmas. I have known a number of such people in my lifetime, including some relatives in my own family. So, I'm not unmindful of that viewpoint, and I am certainly aware of the sincerity of those who hold it, and I am certainly aware of the godliness of many people who hold that viewpoint. I do not hold those people in disdain, but I personally don't find anything wrong with celebrating Christmas as a national holiday and as a family holiday, and I don't see anything wrong with remembering the birthday of Jesus Christ. We don't know what day it was, but we know there was a day. And because there was a day, then we can remember the birth of Christ in this way. Though not commanded to, not instructed to, nevertheless, we are grateful that there was such a day. And I personally am also grateful that there is a recognized day in society, in the world, in a world that seems to me increasingly hostile to things Christian. What a wonderful testimony to the Christ of the Bible, to the Christ of God, to have a day that the world sets aside to celebrate the birthday of Christ. And even where the celebration is carried on without any effort to honor Christ, and sometimes that is true, it's pretty hard to eliminate the reason for the celebration completely from the celebration. It's pretty hard to remove it entirely. And so at this time of year, we hear discussions about various religions and various religious holidays. The Muslims do this, and the Jews do this, and the so forth and so on. But Christians celebrate Christmas, the birthday of Christ. And so even the public place where normally there would be very little acknowledgement of Christ, at this time of year there is. There is. Thank God for that. And even though there's far too much commercialization and far too much Santa Claus and far too much Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which is often put into the celebration as if it's all mixed together. Again, it's pretty hard to remove every remembrance, every reference to the reason why there is a holiday on December 25. And in that I rejoice. I think that it is beneficial to have these reminders. It's wonderful that Christ cannot be removed completely from the consciousness of our society, even by those who would like to. It is impossible to do so. It just can't be done. Thank God for that. It can't be done. And so, what do we do at our church? Well, we don't have any special Christmas celebrations. In other words, we don't have a special Christmas Eve service, for example. I can't remember that we ever have, unless Christmas Eve fell on Sunday. We always gather and worship on the Lord's Day. That's just what we always do, of course. So, we are more inclined, actually, at our church to reduce our normal schedule than to increase it, because we view Christmas as primarily a family matter. And so, when Christmas falls on Sunday, for example, we won't have a full schedule. This year was with Christmas Eve on Sunday. We acknowledge that that is a family time as well. And so we're more inclined, as I say, to reduce our schedule to accommodate family gatherings than we are to have extra services at Christmas time. We're not going to put a Christmas tree in our church sanctuary and so forth, but we will not ignore it either. We will have messages that deal with the incarnation of Christ at this time of year. Wonderful truth. It's certainly a major part of the gospel message. How can we be Christians without acknowledging the incarnation of Christ? Of course, we can't. We do acknowledge that with gratitude. And what is wrong with placing some special emphasis upon the wonderful truth of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God at the time of year when the world is thinking about it? What is wrong with that? I don't personally find anything wrong or offensive about that. I don't think that Christianity is well served by simply being reactionary. Since the world and apostate, liberal Christianity and that which is wrong celebrates the birthday of Christ at this time of year, we refuse to make any mention at all. We'll just ignore it totally. If we talk about the incarnation, we'll have to talk about it some other time, is the response of some people. And again, if that's your position, I am not going to fuss at you about it. I'm just telling you what I think is the wisest way to go about it. But I don't see anything wrong with bringing biblical truth to bear at a time of year when people are thinking about that particular truth. I don't see anything wrong with bringing the biblical account of Christ's resurrection before God's people at the time of year that is called Easter. I don't see anything wrong with emphasizing the incarnation of Christ at that time of year, which is called Christmas. And so in my preaching, I do that. And in our music at our church, our praise, our worship of God, we don't mind. We enjoy using the Christmas music that emphasizes the incarnation of Christ at this time of year. We find that very worshipful, very edifying, very glorifying to God. We want to praise the triune God for who God is, and we want to give special emphasis to God the Son. because that's exactly what we do as Christians. Christians worship Jesus Christ. That's why we are Christians, because we are worshipers of Jesus Christ. And so, without apology, we emphasize the worship of Jesus Christ at this time of year with great gratitude. Great gratitude. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to read one of my favorite incarnation passages, of which there are many, but I am particularly impacted by the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, when he said, beginning in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." It's interesting that this wonderful passage on the incarnation of Jesus Christ is not found in the Gospels. It's not found in the accounts of the birth of Christ that we find in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. Mark does not mention the birth of Christ. John does not mention the birth of Christ, though John has a wonderful prologue that tells us about the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but he doesn't give us any of the historical account of the birth of Christ, of the virgin conception, the relationship between Mary and Joseph, the bringing forth of Jesus Christ in the town of Bethlehem and being laid in a manger, and all of these wonderful details that we find, some of which are found in Matthew and some of which are found in Luke. But this wonderful account of the incarnation of Christ, really from a more of a doctrinal standpoint, I suppose, than an historical one, and all designed to teach the children of God humility, that we might have Christ-like humility. And to that end, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," and then he reminds us of that wonderful humility of Christ, who was willing to leave heaven's glory and humble himself, to come to earth, to robe himself in human flesh, to become a man, to become a servant, to be rejected and despised and killed, executed upon the cross. He was willing to do all this that sinners might have a Savior. And because of that, he was raised from the dead and was exalted back to heaven. And because of all of this, God has highly exalted him. And God has placed him upon the throne with greater honor than he had before he left that throne. And that's wonderful to contemplate. And I set that before you on this glad Christmas day. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.